So after high school, what do you do then?
My senior English teacher, Nyla Phipps, who was from Westville, Oklahoma, she told me about certain things that I needed to do in high school. She said, when you go to college. And I said, I'm going to college? And she said, oh, yes, you are. And I said, well, I don't know if my family can afford that. And she said, well, you're going to make good grades here, Mr. Hanna, because you will get a scholarship. And she said, you know, your Cherokee ancestors attended the seminaries, because the seminaries became Northeastern State University in Tahlequah. And I knew this from stories of my dad and my grandmother. He did not attend college, which was phenomenal. I then discovered that there were a generation before my father that they had all attended the seminaries. My great-grandfather had attended during the 1890s. My great-great-aunt was in the class of 1899 and the first woman in our family to get a master's degree. Wow. She went on to Washington University in St. Louis and graduated in 1903 and came back and taught at the seminaries. So there was this era, though, of the Depression and the war that just changed things up. So I got to return the tradition of going back to the Cherokee seminaries.
Okay, it's called seminary. We normally think of that as theological.
We do. Once again, we have to credit Chief John Ross, who knew that... We were sending the children of elite Cherokee leaders during the early 1800s into the 1820s. We were sending them back east to attend school, and mostly to religious seminaries, because there were missionaries that had come among the Cherokees. The Moravians came among us in 1801 and came with us on the Trail of Tears. Their mission school is still in existence today. I grew up about 6 miles from Oaks, Oklahoma, a great place where I once gave directions to Robert Kennedy on how to get there to give a speech not too long before
he was assassinated. Oh, really? What were those directions?
Well, my parents knew that he was going to speak at Oaks Indian Mission School, and they kept me out of my school. I didn't attend Oaks. I was attending at Watts. And they were what are called rural entrepreneurs. Not only did we have the farm, but we also had a general store, Stinchcomb's Corner on Highway 33. Mom said, if you stand out in front of the store, she said, you'll see Bobby Kennedy when he drives by on his way to Oaks. And so I stood out front, and sure enough, in about an hour, I saw once again a black Lincoln coming down the road with little flags. And the thing that was really interesting, I started waving, and it pulled off of the highway and pulled up and stopped, and the window rolled down, and Bobby Kennedy looked at me, and he said, young man, are we on the right road to Oaks Indian Mission? And I pointed, and I said, yes, sir, you are. You're on the right road. And he drove away. He was assassinated in a hotel room in California not long after that.
He had no idea he was talking to the famous Jay Hanna
of Mosley's Prairie. Yeah,
how old were you then?
Oh, let's see. I was probably, 1967, so 12 years old at the time.
All right. So then?
Rising 12-year-old. It was in the spring of 67.
But these seminaries, people would go there and not necessarily be trained to be missionaries or ministers.
Not at all.
It was really a college.
It was a college.
All right.
And we proudly say that at Northeastern, we're the second oldest institution of higher learning west of the Mississippi River. These were passed to be built in 1846 by the Tribal Council.
So then, obviously, you attended Northeastern State.
Fourth generation to attend. Not only my great-grandmothers attended there, my great-grandfather attended there, my mom attended there, my sister attended there. And yes, I took the same 1946 Underwood typewriter that my mother used with me to type out my first freshman paper. It's in my office today.
That's great.
I keep it there. And when people at work get a memo from me, they know that they need to pay attention to it.
So then when do you graduate from Northeastern?
1977.
And was that a good experience, no doubt, at Northeastern for you?
It was an exceptional experience for me because Northeastern had very small classes. They had bright individuals. My advisors were men of academic stature. As a matter of fact, if not for them, I would have not gone on to graduate school. I went in to see who later would become my father-in-law, Dr. Valjean Littlefield, who in his grave in Tahlequah still holds the scholastic record for taking more debate teams consecutively to the National Forensic Tournament than any other debate coach in United States history, 16 years in a row, PhD from OU, two masters from University of Tulsa, bright guy. And he said, you know, Jay, you need to take this class. He was sort of like Nyla Phipps in high school. He said, you need to take this class because you'll need that when you go to graduate school. And I said, Doc, I'm going to graduate school? And he said, well, of course you are. I said, I don't know that I can afford that. And he said, oh. He said, we'll get you a teaching assistantship while you're there. And I said, well, where am I going? He said, Oklahoma State University. My other advisor, Tom Cottrell, who was my primary advisor, had just finished his doctorate at Oklahoma State, and they knew the chair of a department and a couple of phone calls and a few letters. And the next thing you know, I'm invited to be on the teaching faculty at Oklahoma State University and pursue a master's degree. So, John, in many ways, and I know in the future, if people were to find this recording and listen to it, they'll Google this if they're still at Google. But I've been the Forrest Gump of my entire life. I never set out to do anything, but I have been smart enough to listen to very bright and passionate people who saw something that said maybe you should go on to the next stop.
So life is a box of chocolates, isn't it?
It really is.
You never know.
It really is. You never know.